I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big but freezing day across Scottish football. Just the 2 Premiership games survive, with Motherwell hosting Dundee and Hearts going to Kilmarnock. Livy v Ross County is off, with 3 big games scheduled for tomorrow, including St Johnstone Celtic and Rangers St Mirren. And today is the day Scotland find out their opponents for Euro 2024. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the warmth of the Clyde One studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
It's all about making a little go a very long way today. We've got Kilmarnock's manager, Derek McInnes, going for his 700th appearance as a manager, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, big day, weather causing havoc all over the country, sprinklings of snow and ice everywhere, but the players taking the field today will hopefully serve up something entertaining for us. And a big one in the Championship as well. My current employer's Partick Thistle against my old club Airdrie. That'll be a cracker also.
Yeah, weather's beat a few games, Gordon, but there's still some interesting fixtures this afternoon. So if you're listening at home, put the kettle on, sit back, pour yourself a cup of tea, and let us entertain you.
Right, Robbie Williams, thanks for that. Yes, strap yourselves in. It never fails to disappoint in the drama stakes, that's for sure. Scottish football will always be talking points, no matter how many games are decimated by the weather. It was a split schedule anyway today, with 3 games scheduled for today, 3 for tomorrow. And of course, Hugh Keevans, today's the day. We have, even in your long history on this show, we've not had too many days like this where you get to wonder who Scotland will face at a major tournament, and that will happen before we go off air tonight.
Very nostalgic for me, Gordon, because 50 years ago I remember Scotland going to Germany for the 1974 World Cup finals, and that was a landmark moment for us because we hadn't been to the World Cup finals for a long time. And here we are 50 years later, still trying to get there. 1998 being the last appearance, but this is a big day. We're going to Stevie Clark's second major international tournament in a row, a major feather in his cap. We have a squad of players who are more like a club side than an international side, and we are looking forward with confidence. I don't believe in a favourable draw. There's no such thing. They're all there because they're good, and therefore no group will be more favourable than another. I think we want a mixture of glamour and the doable.
Oh, easiest route possible for me, if you don't mind. But we can get your thoughts in all afternoon on that at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You could give us your nightmare and your dream scenarios over there, and mixed in with some domestic football as well. What is not to like? We've got big games to take you through today, big games to preview tomorrow as well, of course, Hugh.
Yeah, you know, we've had the disappointments of Europe. Celtic, major disappointment for them. Their bad run continues. No more Europe for them after Christmas. They have to respond against St Johnstone in Perth, because all they have left is domestic football, and they have to continue to have that 8-point gap over Rangers. Rangers have a game in hand. That's against St Johnstone at Ibrox. Tomorrow they have St Mirren at Ibrox. And after the disappointment of the draw against Aris Limassol, and it was a disappointment because for Rangers to drop 4 points to a team from Cyprus in that group is not good. Philippe Clement, after the draw with Aberdeen, the draw with Aris Limassol, the fans are looking at him tomorrow, and they're wondering if the manager bounce has gone, and he has to prove that it has not when he plays St Mirren.
Yeah, I don't know when you officially consider it festive fixtures, Mark Wilson. It's just a phrase that gets thrown around. Is it December? Is that only exclusively the period over Christmas and New Year? But either way, we're very much into a really busy and important and potentially season defining period of the campaign.
Yeah, I would say so. When you know, the fixtures come pretty quickly for teams, you don't get much respite in between. I would class that as a festive season, and we're right in amongst it just now, mixed with the weather as well, which makes it also tricky conditions for the players all over the country. It's a tough time of year for footballers. Everybody else winding down to enjoy the festivities while footballers are hard at it. So incredibly
bleeds for you.
Listen, when you're out there in shorts paid and t-shirts
well,
today,
getting the plaudits from around the side adoring of the nation. Listen, would you listen to that? Honestly, some people are actually out there working for a living, and he expects exactly. us to feel sorry for footballers.
Yeah. Every day I thank my lucky stars. I drive into here, I look at guys out there doing a real terrific job, 8 hours a day, and this man's complaining about standing in the warmth, enjoying it, talking to the nation, being loved, and getting a lot of goodwill.
He's
out there.
He's a disgrace. It is one of those days, one of those weekends, though. 11 SPFL matches in total. Livy against Ross County is the only one in the Premiership. Even the artificial surface has its limitations, so that one is off. In the Championship, Ayr are both Dunfermline, Queen's Park, Morton, Dundee United. Some great games, unfortunately, not beating the weather. 4 games in League 1 and 3 in League 2, so pretty much the full lower league card decimated. We just about hobble on in the top flight, which means you've only got 2 to choose from in your game of the day stakes. Both good in their own way, natural bias included here. Let's start at Fir Park for Motherwell against Dundee. Gabriel has the teams.
I do, Gordon. As you say, games up and down the country are off, but it's play on here at Fir Park. Thank goodness for the undersoil heating. Got to say, the park looks beautiful out there. No excuses for either side today. A huge game for Motherwell. They're desperate for a victory and to put an end to this 10-match winless streak. Had a brilliant result last night, of course, a great performance away at Celtic Park in that 1-1 draw, but it's an entirely different prospect today. Manager Stuart Kettlewell wants his side to go out and seize the initiative against Dundee. He wants them to take their chances, take the lead, and then hold on to all 3 points. They face a side who are above them in the league table. Tony Dock's team making an impressive start to the season. They're in 7th place. They've won 3 of their last 5. And if they win today, they could be as high as 4th. Team news then. Let's start with the hosts. Kettlewell makes just one change to the team that got that point at Parkhead 7 days ago. Callum Slattery is out. John Obika comes in to start. It'll be Liam Kelly in goal. Defensive Shane Blaney, Bevis Mugabe and Dan Casey as well. The wingbacks, Stephen O'Donnell and Brody Spencer. In midfield, Callum Butcher, Harry Payton and Blair Spittle. Obika partners Mika Bierit up top. Substitutes Oxborough, Wells, Ghent, Bear, Max and Luca Ross. Wilkinson, Stravkovski, Wilkinson and Shaw. What about Dundee? They were beaten 2-1 by Hibs last time out, and Doherty makes just one change to that side as well. Ricky Lammy misses out altogether. Aaron Donnelly comes into the back line. So it'll be Trevor Carson in goal. Juan Portales, Joe Shaughnessy and Aaron Donnelly in defence. Jordan McGee and Oek Beck as wing-backs with Malachi Boateng and Lyle Cameron in the middle. Luke McCowan and Amadou Bakayoko will play up top with Zach Rudden. Substitutes legends Kerr, Tiffany, Ashcroft, Mulligan, Robinson, Robertson, Howley and Silla. The referee here is Ian Sneddon and the VAR will be Nick Walsh.
Huge game this, Gordon DL. You look at that winless run that Motherwell are on. It feels a bit better because you go to Celtic Park last week and get a point, a really good point. But it has to be the start of something. That was the message from Stuart Kettlewell. And up against the Dundee side, who, yes, are coming off a defeat, but have taken to life back in the top flight very well.
Yeah, I think it's important for both sides. Obviously, Dundee to bounce back. But Motherwell certainly need a result, Gordon. They got a bit of breathing space with that terrific late equaliser last week at Celtic Park, and they got a lot of plaudits, and rightly so, because it is a difficult place to go and get anything at all. But today they're at home. You know, we've documented the long run now without a win. That's got to change, and they've got a great opportunity. But let's not be kidded here. This will be a difficult game.
Do you think I could give Stuart Kettlewell an early Christmas present and tip Dundee to win? And that would just solve everything.
I fancy Motherwell today. I really do. I think the changes that Stuart Kettlewell made, the work he did during the international break, certainly paid off last week. But I think that team looks a solid team. Dundee, as good as they've been, if Motherwell win today, they go a point behind them. And you think of all the stick Stuart Keltwell staking over the last 4 or 5 weeks, it just shows you how close the league is. But I think with Callum Butcher being back in there, Peyton and Spittle in the middle of the pitch, the way it looks like they're going to shape up, it's a strong centre they've got there. The three at the back certainly stood up to Celtic's attack last week. I think they could do the same this afternoon.
It is a massive week though for Motherwell when you consider that winless run stretching to 10 games, a home game against Dundee, a trip to Ross County on Tuesday, and then a home match against St Johnstone next Saturday, and in fact even thereafter, you know, a trip to St Mirren. But certainly that three, Dundee, Ross County, St Johnstone, if you can't pick up a win or multiple wins in then the panic button is probably getting pressed, is
without
it not?
Without doubt, because those games are the crucial ones, the ones that your fans expect you to pick up a good few points from. Has to start today, and we were just chatting about the festive period there. Quite amazing how your season can be shaped over the space of 3 weeks, and December is so important for managers, none more so than Stuart Keltwell.
It's simple, if you don't pick up points in those games, Gordon, looking at that league table, you could find yourself second bottom or bottom, depending on what Livingston
but
do.
But again, Gordon, if you look at the league table, from Kilmarnock on 17 points going down, Dundee 17 points, Ross County 14, Motherwell 13, Aberdeen 13. Five teams separated by 4 points. Nobody is pulling away from anybody.
You sums it up when Motherwell haven't won the last 10, and they're 4 points off top six. So there's no need to panic, although it's a results driven business, as they say, with managers. We know what happens to managers. We don't keep getting results because sooner or later it goes wrong for them. But I believe Motherwell, Stuart Keltwell, will need to build on last week.
Okay, Motherwell against Dundee, game one of two in the Scottish Premiership. The other one comes at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock against Hearts. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, there was no danger of this one being off despite the chaos around the country. It has snowed here in Ayrshire, but it is a little bit better than other parts of the country. The roads and the pavements are all clear, the pitch is too, and we're ready to go in what is sort of relative sunshine as well here at Rugby Park for what is Derek McInnes' 700th match as a manager today, which is pretty impressive considering he's only 52 years old. That's a 16-year managerial career he's had so far. He says he's hungrier than ever for success as well, and he will count it as a big career achievement if he can finish this season in the top six with Kilmarnock. It's so tight in there, as Hugh was just saying, but so far he's done what he's wanted them to do. He wanted them to build on last season after they managed to stay up after they were promoted. Well, they're coming up against a team that will also be desperate to beat that crowd and finish as high as possible in the top six. Not all fans at Hearts are sold on Stephen Naismith and the style of play, but you look at the last three games, three wins they've got from those. They can jump up to third with a win today. Things could be starting to turn. Stephen Naismith saying during the week that he feels they're getting better and better. And it's probably vital that they do keep that run going today when you look at their next three fixtures: Rangers at Tynecastle, Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and then away to Celtic Park. So 3 points today would be absolutely huge for them. We look to teams, and it's three changes for Derek McInnes. Out go Wright, McKenzie and Kennedy. In come in Dabbot, Lyons and Vassell. The captain is back in as well. So in goal, it's Will Dennis. The back four, Lewis Mayo, Stuart Finlay, Robbie Dees and Corey Ndaba. Then across the midfield, it's Danny Armstrong, David Wilson, Liam Donnelly, Brad Lyons and Marley Watkins. Kyle Vassell, the lone striker up top. The substitutes, O'Hara, Sanders, Davies, McKenzie, Polworth, Murray, Warnock, Kennedy and Dallas. As for Hearts, the two changes for them today: Forrest and Lowry dropping out. In come Oda and Neuenhoff. Xander Clark in goal. The back three, Frankie Kent, Kai Rolls and Stephen Kingsley. It'll be Yotaro Oda and Alex Cochrane, the wing backs. The midfield three, Benny Meningame, Callum Neuenhoff and George Grant. And it'll be a front two of Liam Boyce and Lawrence Shanklin. The substitutes, McGovern, Haring, Devlin, Halliday, Forrest, Sibbick, Denham, Tagawa and Lowry. The referee here at Rugby Park is David Dickinson, the VAR, Grant Irvin.
Did you see Halliday on the bench?
Halliday is on the bench, so you will be getting the dugout watch from him this week.
I know what you're thinking, ask a silly question, but he's been well this week. He's dragged himself out of his sick bed to go and sit on the bench for 90 minutes in the freezing cold in Ayrshire.
Honestly, he's a soldier. Yeah, he is a soldier.
He really is.
You know, but I think if there's 110%, I think he'd still be in the same bench.
I think there is every chance. But Mark Wilson, 700 games in charge in management for Derek McInnes. I mean, incredible. You got on the sack at Bristol City.
Aye.
And he still survived to make it to this milestone.
I was going to say I was probably part of the most enjoyable parties of those 700. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed my time under him. A very good manager, you know, very good coach to work under. The players all liked him. To get to 700 is remarkable. I heard him have a wee laugh, say he certainly won't have another 700, but it just goes to show you that you know, the knowledge he's got of the game, the respect he has of the players, terrific manager.
And that's the fascinating contrast for me about this game. There's Derek, 700 McInnes, versus Stevie, I think maybe 25 games Naismith as a manager. So you've got the time served manager and the apprentice. If Kilmarnock can get a win today, then they go on to the same number of points as Hearts. Now, that would be a fitting landmark gift for Derek McInnes, because, you know, we always look at clubs like Kilmarnock and think they're always going to struggle. But this could be a big day for him.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to that one. Kilmarnock against Hearts. David Friel, you were meant to be at Livingston against Ross County. It's off. You've been rerouted to Partick Thistle against Airdrie, which is a cracker in the Championship.
It is a cracker, Gordon. How could I resist the chance to come and watch the Mark Wilson derby as well? I need to give great credit to Partick Thistle. Obviously, games falling all over the place, but my good friend Brian Welsh at Thistle assured me the pitch would be magnificent, and it is. No problems at all. Pitch perfect, hoping for a good crowd. As you say, it's going to be a good game. Partick in third in the Championship at the moment, Airdrie in fifth. There's only 5 points between the sides at the moment, and both on pretty similar runs. Partick lost to Dundee United here October 21st, they got absolutely thumped, but they are unbeaten in five games since. Airdrie lost to Dundee United on October 31st, and they are also unbeaten in five games since. So two teams in decent form, both like to play, both like to attack and get the ball down, so I'm hoping for some goals. Obviously, traditionally, there's a bit of rivalry in this fixture. Airdrie beat Partick 2-1 earlier in the season as well. I'm sure Chris Doolan's men nailed out for revenge today, but I'm also led to believe that Airdrie are heading off for a Christmas bash tonight, a Christmas party, so there is plenty of incentive for them to get a win before they hit the Guinness. Thistle have made one change from the Scottish Cup win over Queen's Park, and it's a pretty significant one. Brian Graham, veteran striker, scores all the goals. He's suspended, and 18-year-old Rico Dyack is in for his first senior start. He's only 18, as I said, but he's 6'2", a big lad, can move. He spent a lot of time at Rangers as a kid, and this is his big chance to shine. So Partick Thistle line-up, Jamie Sneddon in goals, back four of Jack McMillan, Aaron Muirhead, Lewis Nielsen and Waziri Williams. Ben Stanway, Stuart Bannigan will be in the middle two, with Stephen Lawless, Blair Alston, Aidan Fitzpatrick and Rico Dyack as the front four. The subs for Partick are Mitchell Milne, McEnroy Williamson, McDonald Lyon and McKenzie. As for Airdrie, they beat Stranraer in the Scottish Cup last week and they are unchanged. So it'll be Josh Ray in goals, a back four of Craig Watson, Callum Fordyce, Aaron Taylor-Sinclair and Kenai Omegua. Charlie Telfer and Dean McMaster will be the two holding midfielders, with Liam McStravick, Adam Frizzell, Gabby McGill and behind Callum Gallagher. Subs for Airdrie are Hutton, player manager Reece McCabe, Hancock, O'Connor, Todorov, Dunlop, Gavin Gallagher, Cassidy and Spalding, and the referee is Stephen McLean, and there is no VAR for Hill, thankfully.
Oh, that means you'll get a nice early finish. Did you hear that? Genuinely, David Friel was getting snowballs chucked at him when he's went into for Hill.
So I just cheer
you
up that.
Just to know that you're in here and he was on the receiving end of a barrage. Is that right, David?
Yeah, the Maryhill young team were out in force, but let them know in uncertain terms it wasn't acceptable. I got an apology and we moved on.
Oh, listen to this. Can
we elaborate on no uncertain terms?
I mean, expletives were used.
Yeah,
I believe.
Shameful. Shameful.
Anyway, we'll leave him to it. He's a professional. He's got his eyes on the prize at Firhill now, and we will take a breather, because that's you up to speed on all the team news. I say all the team news. Sounded very dramatic. Three featured games for us today, only two in the Premiership, but at this time on a Saturday we always look back at some of the week's biggest talking points, and we'll do that next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are here looking ahead to hopefully a dramatic Saturday in the Scottish Premiership and beyond. Two games in the top flight and not too many below that either. But fear not, there is a lot to get through. We're going to look back on the week's biggest talking points right now. Later on, we'll preview tomorrow's games and, of course, the small matter of the Euro 2024 draw. How we have longed for days like this. And today we find out who Scotland will face at Germany next summer. But it is that stage of a Saturday. We always look back on the week's biggest talking points. And in weeks like this, Hugh Keevans, it tends to come from European competition, where really, this week, it was all about widespread disappointment.
Well, for Celtic, it's the continuation of widespread disappointment. They look hopelessly out of their depth at Champions League level. It doesn't matter whether it's Brendan Rodgers, on both occasions as Celtic manager, or Ange Postecoglou, or Neil Lennon. In recent years, Celtic cannot do Europe at that level. And they have to examine why that is the case. And for me, yes, I allow them the injuries to Abada and to Hatate and the loss of Maeda. But for me, the squad they have is simply not good enough. Certainly not for that level of the game. And that has to be addressed by Celtic and by the board. As for Rangers, Rangers have only themselves to blame. They should already be assured of a place in the last 16 of the Europa League. But to lose 4 points to a team who are not even the best team in Cyprus is a real drawback for them. And I blame the players. I blame those who went to Cyprus and lost to Limassol 2-1. It didn't matter that Michael Beale had been given the sack the previous weekend. As players, they ought to have the quality to beat Limassol home or away, and they failed. And they failed again in midweek. And too much has been made of the Todd Cantwell substitution. There were 55 minutes of football to be played after he went off. It may or may not have been the wrong substitution, but there were 55 minutes of Rangers at home, and they couldn't make it count. And so they are faced with having to beat Real Betis in Seville, and it's their own fault.
Let's start with Rangers and work backwards, if you like, Gordon. You take Hugh's point. There was a long time after the substitution, but that substitution has caused such a level of debate and discussion. It almost it makes the dropping of points worse somehow. Do you know what I mean? It feels like there's more attached to it than just dropping of points. There's that decision. There's the reaction to it from all the fans. You would have heard the phone in last night. So it just amounted to a fairly bad night at the office.
It was a strange night before Mark and I left the studio.
Don't think I've forgotten your predictions.
Yeah. And I was very confident, and I went home and I watched the second half of the game, Gordon. Everybody talks about the substitution. Me personally, I don't know what the problem is with substitution. The manager seen something he didn't like. He changed it. It was an impact substitution. The lad scored. I thought the lad was terrific when he came on. He gave Rangers such a lift. So as much as people are, I think it was the timing, maybe.
No, to be fair, I think, no, the issue for most fans is, why didn't you take Sam Lammers off? Why is Sam Lammers getting to play in Todd Cantwell's preferred position? Well, that's the debate.
Well, the debate's quite simple.
No one's doubting that Ross McCausland came on and had an impact.
It's the manager's decision. He felt that that would be a better option. So you've got to put everything at the manager.
Are you familiar with this show? We're allowed to debate. Just because the manager decides it doesn't mean you then say okay, and then everyone just moves on. We're analysing whether people agreed with it or not.
I said on Thursday night, along with Mark, I'm not a great fan of Lammers. I don't know what he's brought to the party. I'm willing to give everybody the best chance, because I think you can start seeing a little bit in Danilo, for instance, over injury. I think he looks a decent enough player. I think one or two are settling in. The new manager's got a tune out of one or two as well. But Lammers, just apart from he scored a terrific goal at Downs Park, I've not really seen what the manager sees in him. Yes, would I have put Cantwell into the number 10 position? I probably would have. But I think the manager, to be honest with you, might just be putting down a wee marker to players. Cantwell was involved in giving the ball away slackly for me, and sometimes I think he's capable of that. I think he holds on to the ball too long. I don't know if the manager's trying to work it that he moves the ball a lot quicker and basically just teach them a lesson. Look, new managers come in, new managers bounce. I like what he brings to the party. He made that decision. Yes, okay, you can point the finger at Lammers, but I still believe that Rangers on their night should have taken care of the opposition.
I agree with the guys. Look, Rangers should have won. When you look at the standings of both sides, the squad that Rangers have, of course they should have won. But for me, Philippe Clement got it wrong on the night with his selection. And he realised, now there's nothing wrong with that when you realise and you make a change pretty quickly. But again, the argument is who you leave on, and that's where the Rangers fans voiced their concerns, and I think they were right to voice their concerns. This isn't picking on Sam Lammers, but you've got to see some return from the players that stay on the pitch. In my opinion, you get more out of Cantwell in a central position, but Philippe Clement, for whatever reason, persists with trying to play Cantwell off the right hand side when it's he's clearly ineffective on that side. And he's got a real prospect sitting on his bench here, and McCausland, who looked like he came on and affected the game in a positive way more than anybody else. So, look, me and Hugh were chatting about this in the office earlier. James Forrest, I'll go back to it. When Neil Lennon put him into the squad, he was a young winger, and nobody could foresee where Forrest ended up, but he had the courage to play him, and he played with that kind of fearless nature that you want to see players play with. McCausland might be in the same tracks as him, but if you're constantly try to fit a square peg in a round hole with Cantwell in there, it's going to block his progress.
Although Philippe Clement did say afterwards very clearly that he knows that Todd Cantwell isn't fit for that position, isn't a right sided, but isn't a right winger or whatever you want to call it. He says he knows that other positions are better for him. So is it just a case of,
I think you can get frustrated with Cantwell. I've got to be honest with you. When he came into the club at first, I thought he was excellent. I really did. I thought he brought something to Rangers. He was exciting the fans. He looked a real good prospect. But I watched him in pre-season as well, and I've got the opinion that Todd Cantwell, is more about him than the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the other night there, I think the manager must be working at that with him day by day. I don't know. You'd need to ask somebody inside Ibrox. But I've just got this funny feeling he's trying to work to get him to become that team player, because the boy has got terrific skill.
I'm told by those who were there that he was constantly being reminded by Clement of what he was supposed to do. And at one point, to use a beloved football expression, he rubber-eared the manager. Now, Clement's not the type of man to be rubber-eared. And the loss of the goal, of course, it's not down to Todd Cantwell exclusively. He did lose the ball, but he was trying to create something in the final third. The fault lies with the two central defenders who were very, very slow in reacting. However, that was the final straw for Clement. And I think Cantwell has an attitude problem. As Gordon said, it's about him and not the team, or that's how it looks. He has to respond to this by understanding that the manager's in charge and he is not going to act in defiance of the manager. No player does.
Would it be easier to take, though, if the guy that was playing in your preferred position was actually any good at it?
Well, I understand that you could look at him and say, you're taking me off and you're leaving him on. However, it's a European tie. You have to get on with it. And whether it's a Scottish Cup tie or a European tie, Philippe Clement is in charge. He can't have insurrection.
Well, we've got to look at Hugh as well. I totally take on board Gordon's point and the discussion of Rangers fans talking about Cantwell should be in there instead of Lammers. This on Thursday night, it's not at Lammers' door. Did he play well? No, he didn't play particularly well. But there's still enough quality on that pitch to go and get the result required.
Yeah, of course.
And make it comfortable. So let's not just beat the guy with the stick. And it was all about Lammers. And if Cantwell had went into that number 10 position, I think Hugh's 100% right. I think that managers get frustrated with Cantwell. And I can understand Cantwell, because Mark's right. square peg, round hole. He doesn't like playing there. He's a number 10. He's creative. He wants to be involved in everything. But sometimes you've just got to say, right, I need to take one for it. I need to play for a team. Mm. I need to be disciplined, and I need to do what the manager wants me to do.
And a whole different type of disappointment coming from Rome on Tuesday. David Friel, we prefer these Saturdays where it's a bit more of a positive reflection. I'm kind of fighting the temptation to just replay dozens of conversations we've had about Celtic post-European games.
Yeah, 100%, and I probably refer you to Callum McGregor's words. I think he said it was the same old story, and it pretty much was. Gordon, you know, for 80 minutes Celtic were okay, not really threatening that much, but probably not being threatened. Then obviously chasing the win, had to open up slightly, and I think Lazio, with the experience of Immobile and Pedro, you know, got a slice up for the first one, but you just never think Celtic are going to keep a clean sheet. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. 29 group games, Celtic have kept one clean sheet and conceded 77 goals. So, from that point of view, you're going to have to score two or three a game to have any chance of winning them. And Celtic just simply don't have the quality in the front areas, especially with injuries just now, to do that. I agree with you in terms of the squad. I think the summer transfer window, with every passing week, looks worse. And speaking to Brendan Rodgers yesterday up at Lennox Town, he's pretty clear on what he wants. You know, he wants game-ready players. And, you know, everybody will talk about the Champions League and improving the squad for the Champions League, but you also get the feeling that Brendan Rodgers feels Celtic need to be better domestically as well. He just wants, you know, more style, more substance, more consistency. Obviously, top of the league just now, but been a few disappointing results and performances in recent weeks. So I think you'll see a bit of a change in strategy with Celtic, with both Europe and domestic football in mind going forward.
Do you think part of the frustration, David, comes from Celtic fans thinking that although there is a certain level of European quality that they obviously can't get to, and they could never bridge that gap, that maybe with just that little bit more investment, maybe even a level of success, even if it is third place, could be achieved? Because Hugh, you know, used the phrase out of their depth, which I'm not going to spend time arguing about that, because Hugh will quite rightly hold up the stats, and, you know, in the last 15 games and all that sort of stuff. The eye test, if you like, you watch Celtic in the Champions League, they don't look out their depth in the sense that you watch every game and think, oh my, this is a mismatch. What is this lot doing, you know, at this level of the competition? But the results are just never, ever there. Does it feel close? Is that, or not close, but does it feel like third place could be achieved with a little bit more money put in? Is that why the Celtic fans are on the board's back?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think you've got Celtic fans out there thinking Celtic should be, every time they get to Champions League, reaching the last 16 or getting further or anything like that. But I think Celtic as a club have the finances, the size, the structure, the infrastructure, everything you want to talk about to be targeting third place in Europe, and I think they probably do. Brendan Rodgers, certainly when the draw was made, had said, look, at the very least you want to be in European football after Christmas, but that doesn't happen anymore. You know, I think it's the last three at least Champions League campaigns Celtic have finished bottom of their group. So, you know, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, Celtic really need to examine their relationship with the tournament, what they want from the tournament. And basically, just as Brendan Rodgers said yesterday, you know, after the game he talked about quality signings. In the broadcast press conference yesterday, he spoke about established players needing to be brought in. And then when we sat down with him with the newspapers, he was speaking about basically need for experience. That might not mean necessarily a 30-year-old, but it just means someone who comes into the club with 250 games. And again, that's no guarantee you're going to get to the last 16, but I think it gives you so much of a better chance to finish third and prolong your European campaign for the season, and maybe potentially do something like Rangers did in the Europa League a couple of seasons ago. You know, I think that has to be the benchmark for Celtic. I think that's what they have to try and do, but they're not going to do it with the current squad. I just don't think Celtic's squad is good enough, and the results have shown that this season.
It sounds like Brendan Rodgers is of a mind to agree. Mark Wilson, since Tuesday's disappointment, we've heard him speak yesterday on the topic, as David says, of trying to attract more quality, acknowledging, as every manager does, that January is difficult. And again, once again, acknowledging the, you know, the size and perhaps the clear out that might be needed as well.
Yeah, well, they're carrying a massive squad just now. Brendan Rodgers saying that he probably at the start of the season thought at that time that they needed an extra four players and ones of experience. And David's spot on. Players that come in with game time behind them, but at a decent level, playing consistently and playing well consistently. And I think we can all tell with signings who this project signing or an experienced signing, what the difference is behind that. You know, players recently have come in from Celtic, have been doing well in recent times, but have not got many games behind them. And that's the problem. Those players are being pitched in against Lazio and Feyenoord and Atletico, against experienced international footballers. You know, Celtic should have got something out of both games. But Lazio finished second in Serie A last year with a team full of international recognised players, and Celtic are pitching in Yang, James Forrest, nothing against him, but, you know, been there and done it, coming on to try and make a difference. That is the difference in squads.
Brendan
Rodgers Champions League
now has to assert himself. He was handed these players. He didn't have anything to do with bringing in Paolo Bernardo and all the rest of them.
He strongly denies that, of course. I mean, well, he was at the AGM last week, and a few shareholders put it to him, and he was adamant that is not the case.
In my personal opinion, I think he's been diplomatic in his choice of words there.
Possibly.
And I think that he has to assert himself, because it's his reputation that's on the line now. He's now being mocked for his Champions League record as a manager. On two occasions at Celtic, he is a figure of fun. So it's up to him to address his own reputation, his own stature within the game, and get players in who will stop making Celtic a laughingstock at that particular level. He really has to become the manager in the January transfer window. And I don't accept that you can't get good players in the January transfer window. The world is his oyster, and he has all the analytical data in the world behind him. And he has vast experience of English football and the kind of experience and temperament that he is looking for. He has got to be the manager, because if much else goes wrong, he won't be the manager.
Going to be interesting times ahead, that's for sure. We'll park that for now, because there's plenty more to be said on this afternoon's football as well. There's lots to look forward to for tomorrow, and we've got that Euro draw later this afternoon as well. So don't go anywhere, because we are going to go back around the grounds and build up to the 3 o'clock games. That is all coming next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's freezing cold out there, but it's roasting hot in here. Stuck in with Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, taking you through all of the build-up to today's football, explaining the action as it happens. And then, of course, at 5 o'clock, you can have your say on the open line. At that time, you might want to reflect on today's football, look ahead to three massive games tomorrow, and whilst that's all happening, we'll find out who Scotland will face at Euro 2024. It is all happening today, lots to look forward to despite the call-offs. And I have to say, I was just checking on social media, as you do. Gabriel is obviously at Fir Park, Gordon DL, and Motherwell have put a magnificent picture on social media. It's of Fir Park and surrounding area in the snow. Look at that, Hugh. Picturesque.
I was out walking there today.
Looks wonderful.
Christmas card.
They've got captured
the drone.
He's
and
flat.
I think if you look, I think you've left your flat window open.
I have, yeah.
Honestly, I've zoomed right in. I can see it.
I've got the heating on and the window open just a little
Why
bit.
Why don't snapshot that, screenshot it, circle it, and put it out there on social media?
Going to have
who lives here?
Yeah,
you get loads of visitors tonight.
More than welcome. Plenty of tea bags and coffee.
If you zoom right in, you can actually see in your living room.
Well, I hope they don't zoom in tonight.
Honestly, you might want to.
They might see a half moon.
You might want to wipe. You might want to wipe that recliner down from time to time. That's all I've got to say for you. But I can see the living room in all its glory there. You've definitely left the window open, Gabriel. Everything is fine there, I assume. Pitch all good, no concerns with the conditions today?
Yeah, not at all, Gordon. As I said earlier on, the pitch actually looks fantastic. You've got to give credit to the Motherwell staff here. No complaints at all, no excuses for either side. Not too busy here at Fir Park. I mean, we've still got a good 10 minutes before kick-off. Obviously, some people might have struggled getting to the stadium. But in terms of the pitch, Gordon, cracking game. Really looking forward to this one between two sides desperate for victory.
Yeah, let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell and Tony Docherty.
In the last sort of 9 games, we've had by far the best chance or chances before we've conceded a goal. So I look at those situations and I start to think to myself, it's a greater issue if we're not creating them and we don't have those opportunities. But very simply, we then need to show the composure to try and give ourselves a lead, because you're absolutely right. The mindset that comes with scoring the first goal is pretty remarkable.
And of course, up against Tony Docherty's Dundee.
It's a difficult venue, I know that from experience, going down there. They'll play their normal style, but they're a good side. You know, good. I like Stuart. You know, he's got a good way of working with his players, and Stevie Fraley as well. And it'll be a difficult match, you know, when you realise it's a tough opponent. But we've been working all week on what we can bring to the game. And as I say, our level of performance has been good recently. You know, we're sitting high in the form guide at the moment. And I thought even last week's performance was of a level that would normally win you a game or take something from the game. So we just need to make sure we maintain our levels, home and away. But it's a difficult game away from home. And, you know, I think we'll be buoyed because we'll carry a good support. We always do, going down there. And them getting behind us, hopefully we'll put in that performance that will get the result.
Mark, you look at Dundee's recent journeys into the Premiership and they've always been a bit calamitous, seem a bit doomed for various reasons. They've just gone about their business in a very quiet, efficient, relatively successful way this time around.
Certainly have. And I like the way Tony Docherty's gone about his first stint in management. I've said before, I worked under Tony and Derek at Bristol City. Tony Dock was at Dundee United with me as well when he started his coaching journey. Terrific coach, players again like him. And I think that's a lot to do with being a success, a manager. Of the players like you, like the way you speak to them, the honesty, you'll get better performances. You mirror that with bringing in decent players to your squad, then you've always got a chance. But they've started well. Obviously the high point of the season so far was that home win against St Mirren. Even last week when Hibs went 2 up, they had a right good go again to get back in the game, and were maybe unfortunate not to get something there. But he's got them playing well. He's got a goal scorer up front as well.
You ever played under him that you don't like?
I like
him. Oh, I played with him. Oh, great coach, great lad. Everybody liked him. They all seem to free you.
Good judges of character. I noticed Callum Slattery suspended for Motherwell today. It's good going to have your suspension for yellow cards picked up by the first weekend in December.
Amazing,
isn't it?
Six
already in the book. That's a fair rate.
Where's Callum Butcher standing in this?
He's five.
I was going to say he'll be close behind.
No,
him.
He's not actually. I take that back. No, he's not.
Right, he's injured.
He's been injured for a while.
Don't give him too long.
It's Dan Casey that's just behind on five. And you know what? Another Motherwell player.
Stuart Kettlewell can certainly do with a bit of bite in the middle of the park, but there's a fine line. Slattery's a player, good player, who he could be doing with this afternoon. Butcher in there with Spittle as well. Looked solid enough last week. But see, I fancy Motherwell today. Daz is right. I cannot go on forever. Stuart Kettlewell mentioned it there. They create plenty of chances. They maybe don't take them at the right time and concede at the opposite end. I think they'll get it right today.
So much negativity, it feels like, Andrew McLean, around Hearts' start to the season. And yet, win today, go third. And, well, that's kind of all anyone expects of them, really, isn't it? So that'll be a huge incentive for Stephen Naismith as he goes back to where it all started for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was, I don't know how the word pressure is right, but it was certainly, you know, fans weren't happy with what they were seeing from Stephen Naismith and Hearts earlier on in the campaign. Obviously missing out on that third spot last season as well was a big disappointment. So coming into this one, they wanted to see a bit more. They wanted to see a reaction. They didn't get it at the start of the season, but with the way the league is at the moment and it's so tight, you know, if you go on a run of wins, it really can propel you up the table. And Hearts have won our last three games against Livingston, against Motherwell and against St Johnstone as well. They now find themselves, as you say, in that position where they can go up to third as well. So they're having a really good time of it. And away from home as well, they've actually got a pretty good record. It's actually the third best in the league at the moment, so they will be kind of confident coming into this game, you'd think. But they are up against the Kilmarnock side, who are really good at home as well. They are unbeaten in five Premiership games at the moment, 3 wins and 2 draws. They of course beat Celtic here earlier on in the season. They beat Rangers here as well. Things actually kind of looked as if they tailed off a bit for Derek McInnes and Kilmarnock at one point, but as I said, you know, with how tight the league is, as long as you start getting those results here and there, you can get up the table. And especially if you make your home ground a really hard place for teams to come, you've got a really good chance of finishing in the top six. Only Celtic have picked up more points at home in the Premiership this season. I think Rangers have played one game less at home than Kilmarnock, so maybe slightly skews it, but it shows that it is a really, really good home record they've got here. But it is massive for both teams because they'll feel they will be competing with each other because the league is wide open, so they'll feel that, you know, whatever team gets the victory, that can maybe give them a bit of confidence heading forward, and they'll then feel that maybe they can get the better of the other in the league this season and finish above them. But I think this will just continue from week to week with all the teams in that area. It's so tight, it'll certainly be exciting for us watching on.
In our featured Championship game, Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle.
Come on, the Jags.
Can't believe the way he's referring to them as that nowadays, honestly.
Oh, I've been involved with the two clubs.
So you have. So it's the Mark Wilson.
I gave a big effort to get that game on. I was part of
Gordon
the ground staff.
Yeah, David Friel, I think there's a real fascination about Airdrie this season as well because of the managerial situation, how young Reece McCabe is, the way they try and play a certain style. It's mid-table at the moment. It's going fine. It's going well in places, but it's certainly it's a storyline worth keeping an eye on, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they're kind of rising up the leagues, and Reece McCabe being so young, he's actually benched himself today. But a good team. You know, I was actually really surprised looking at the league table that they've only scored 12 goals in 13 games, because watching Airdrie over the last couple of seasons, you always feel as if they've got a lot of goals in them. So I think that's something they've obviously struggled a wee bit to adapt to the higher level, but they're still in there. They're only fifth. They can go fourth today with a win, but up against a Partick Thistle side who, as I said earlier, Gordon, the last time I was here, beat 5-0 off Dundee United, you know, pretty shambolic that day. You know, Chris Doolan came in, pulled no punches, apologised and everything, and you did wonder, you know, if Thistle had maybe taken their chance, or sorry, lost their chance last year when they obviously missed out in the playoffs right at the end against Ross County. But they've reacted really, really well. A couple of draws then, 3 wins in a row. Really convincing win over Queen's Park last week in the Scottish Cup too. So Thistle, as I say, they can also go and put a wee bit of pressure on Raith Rovers and Dundee United today with a win. But I do think they're going to miss Brian Graham so much. He's such a focal point for them. He's such a talisman up front. You know, he leads them. He's a captain. He gets the goals. And it's a really, really big day for young Rico Dyack. You know, big shoes to fill. He's only 18. He's everything Brian Graham isn't. He's raw. He's big. Not got the experience that Brian Graham's got. So we'll see how Thistle adapt without their captain today.
Looking forward to it. Three featured games for us. Plenty to consider for tomorrow and later with the Euro draw as well. The 3 o'clock games are coming next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. There is not a whole lot of football on today because of the weather, but it's roasting in here and we've got three big games to feature. So if you could please try and not make a backside of your predictions. It's been a bad week. I wasn't even here last week. I was hearing all about Hugh's predictions on Saturday. Then, of course, midweek, you all got Rangers drastically wrong. You need to get some respectability back. Take it away.
Well, you know, I'm a dud, but at least I turn up and I'm a regular dud. I am going to wish Derek McInnes a happy 700th managerial appearance and say Kilmarnock will beat Hearts. I think Partick Thistle minus Brian Graham are a different breed. I think it's a draw with Airdrie at Firhill. And I'm giving Stuart Kettlewell that early Christmas present. He's not had any wins in his last 10 games. I'm tipping Dundee to win at Fir Park.
I'm going to go for 3 home wins. Killy to beat Hearts, Partick Thistle to beat Airdrie, and I'll go for Motherwell to beat Dundee.
Press the button, 3 draws.
Whoa!
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Make your life that little bit easier. Use their free prescription delivery.
That's a massive call from you. 3 draws in our 3 featured games.
I think it's very hard to call. I think if you look at Kilmarnock Hearts, especially down there on that pitch today, I think that's a difficult one.
What do you mean down there on that pitch? That means Kilmarnock are probably favourites, no?
No, because I think Hearts are in decent form. Okay. I think Hearts have got a good squad. You look at Motherwell Dundee, can't separate them. And Partick and Airdrie, I think that'll be a great game at Firhill. So three draws. I think you'll see at 5 o'clock who's right.
Okay, we'll find out. At Clyde SSB, you can tweet your kindest, warmest, festive regards to Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale throughout the show. We'll open the phones a bit later on as well, although we have already put up a video of Hugh Keevans dressed for winter on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Twitter, and the kindest, warmest, festive regards are not really there.
No.
There's no real festive spirit or, like, you know, widespread joy on there.
Life's like that today.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's like, you know, that verging into the not even funny stuff. Like, I don't mind.
That's from all odds.
He says as he tries to stifle a laugh. But, you know, come on, guys, have a bit of a sense of humour. If you're going to slag, that's what they're here for. I too love slagging the pundits, but a wee bit of a sense of humour wouldn't go amiss. Come on, let's see what we can do over there at Clyde SSB. What about the trainers, though? I've actually been doing a bit of research, because you have indeed, in a sort of still game fashion, you've not got the perma grips from Timpsons. It is your trusty Hi-Techs that you pull out in these occasions, these conditions. And we're genuinely trying to establish what year you bought them in.
Yeah.
So I've been googling them Hi-Techs, because they're Hi-Tech squash, that's what they're called. If you go onto Twitter, you'll see them. I think I've put them on my Instagram story as well. I have had a look at, alarmingly, I think you can still buy them. Oh. I didn't think you could, and I thought maybe we could narrow it down. I'm going for the 80s. I think they're 80s.
81.
I think they're purchased in the 80s.
Well, you see, Maradona's jersey went for quite a lot of money. I'm just hoping that one day the Hi-Tech squashes will be, you know.
Why do you actually walk about a carry bag with two pairs of shoes?
Because you wear the Hi-Techs in the snow. And then when I get out of the snow,
Hi-Techs are really made for the snow.
Listen,
hey, it's a foot of snow out there, sweetheart. Get the Hi-Techs out of the car.
I am here, therefore it works. They work in the snow.
He doesn't want to wear wet shoes during the show.
But the problem is, he puts his dry shoes on with his wet socks.
The hush puppies then do go on. But right, genuinely, can you have any recollection of when you would have bought them? Because they look really, really old. Like,
yeah.
But the actual process of buying them, you know, the amount of trainers and
I mean, did
better
you ever,
makes of trainers.
Yeah, back in the day. But that's what makes me think maybe they're an 80s purchase. Did you ever play squash, or were they just an unrelated purchase?
No, I just thought they looked good.
I remember in primary school, my mum and dad get me a set of Hi-Techs. I was devastated.
I think now they're coming around to be a bit sort of vintage. I think
it's trainer gate this week, isn't it? Because I upped the game for the old ones.
Yeah, I heard that.
Trainers are a disgrace,
honestly.
You can still apparently buy them on the Hi-Tech website for 30 quid. But
squash players, squash players only, not for snow.
30 quid.
You can have mine for 15.
Those look a lot whiter than yours. They're like brand new. And want to establish when they were purchased.
Oh, big man.
Seen a bit of action. Yeah.
Dear.
He always
loses
an early goal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Likes to make it entertaining.
Hamilton Accies won Queen of the South 0. A great win in the cup as well, knocking Dundee United out last week.
They should have put on the Hi-Techs.
But Hamilton won Queen of the South 0. Marvin Bartley's team up against it again. It's been a tough old time in the league. But anyway, we're glad you made it, whether it was via your Hi-Techs or not. I'm glad you made it. And so what do? You leave them on the radiator in the office and then switch back into them?
I put them back in the bag when we are going through the draw. When we hit a commercial break during the Euro 2024 draw, I'll put them on for the return trip.
Andrew McLean makes a very good point. We've only got three reporters out at grounds today, and I would say that certainly Andrew and Gabriel are both younger than your Hi-Techs.
That's possibly true.
I think David Friel is going to be, and David Friel and myself maybe touching. Nah, David Friel's 81. I'm going mid to late 80s. They were purchased.
The Dazzler thinks 81. He thought 81.
Nah, I think that's just too long.
I used to play squash then.
Well, that's the mystery solved.
I had a pair of them for my squash.
I've just had a text from Leanne saying she had a pair of those for her badminton in P7. She's not spring chicken.
Don't reveal a lady's age now.
She's hitting her 50s. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Mika Bireth. Motherwell 1 Dundee 0. The ball was bouncing around in the box, a right footed strike in at the near post, and it is Motherwell who strike first. He made that unbelievable impact when he first came. He was coming off the bench and scoring for fun and assisting all over the place. Injury came out the team, hasn't managed to quite hit the goal scoring trail in the same manner since coming back into the team, but he has scored as usual. Has he though?
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff.
But in the meantime, reverse psychology, you see, I tried to do
goal stands.
Tried to do
there.
Stuart Kettlewell a favour. I said I'll tip Dundee and therefore Motherwell will win.
That could be the difference. Stuart Kettlewell, just we heard from moments ago, saying that they've created so many good chances but not taking them, then concede. Well, they've converted the first chance in this game, but can they, can they hold on to it, or can they build in it?
Can you hold on to it? 6 minutes gone.
Aye, hold on to it for 84 minutes.
Let's run the ball into the corner for the next 90 minutes.
He'll take it.
Liam Kelly, that's not in his
waste of time.
He took every goal kick really quickly at Celtic Park last week, I heard. Right, Hugh Keevans, let's do this first of all.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Topicality is everything. Excluding the Celtic Lazio game, four players appeared in this week's Champions League who have played in Scotland at some point in their career. Can you name them? So forget about the Celtic Lazio game. Four players appeared in this week's Champions League who have played in Scotland at some point in their career. Who are they?
That's a great question. And just to clarify, they must have played in the Champions League this week. Okay,
yep.
So being a member of a squad is not good enough. We have higher standards than that. They must have actually played for their team in the Champions League this week. So there are only four answers. Let's see what you can come up with at Clyde SSB. It is a race. You need to get all four names onto one tweet and send it over before everyone else. That is the aim of the game. We've got another one of these in our featured matches as well. What a start to the day it is here.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Partick Thistle 1 Airdrie 0, and it's the young man we've just been discussing, Mark Wilson, 18 years of age, Rico Diak. No Brian Graham, no problem for Partick Thistle.
Delighted for the young man because he's waited for his opportunity. It's never easy when you've got Brian in front of you, but Brian suspended, Toby Adeloy injured, and he's taking his chance. Only taking 7 minutes. Big strong boy. And
how old is he, Mark?
18. Gordon just said that a minute ago.
Sorry, Gordon. I was concentrating.
So there is a real possibility that the high techs are twice as old as Rico Diak. I think that's the era we're looking at here.
Yeah.
18 times two, as far as I'm concerned. So is he always with the first team? You've not had the pleasure for your Partick Thistle under 18s?
No, he moved up last year before my time, but
the one that got away.
Well, I've seen him in reserve football, played against Livingston and Hibs, so a good player, but obviously benefiting from having Lawless one side, Fitzpatrick the other.
It's amazing what that inspiration can do for you. Like looking over his shoulder at the under 18s and thinking, I don't want to be part of that. I need to work really hard to stay in the first team setup at the moment.
Yeah. But give Wilson Beale a bit of credit here. Yeah. He's went in there and given everybody a lift. He's coaching ability.
Yeah, look at the results.
He talks a lingo. He certainly talks a lingo this month.
No big game for the Thistle 18s.
Aye. Last night, yeah.
How'd you go?
Oh, we got beat 3-2.
I genuinely assumed it would have been off because of the weather.
No, no, we play in all sorts of
You see how he's just left it unsaid?
St. Johnson.
Good side. Hold on.
You know what's coming level. Next. It's all about the development.
Certainly
made five
development.
Substitutions.
That's that was a great game. Wasn't it so great when I was telling Hugh, we started the game and we got to half time and I thought, the colour of the pitch is changing here. It's changing from green for the Astro to white. It was freezing over. as the game was going on, but we managed to get it completed.
Yeah. I think St Johnstone handled the conditions a lot better by the sounds
where
of it.
Where did it go wrong tactically? Do you read the riot act in those circumstances?
No,
it's all about development, Gordon.
The boys were great last night, yeah. Had a young squad.
At the break, you'll be like, oh, I see this.
We were 2-1 up at the break.
this dressing room lacks charity now, doesn't it? I mean, the man's trying to develop young players, and we've got
no sympathy.
The wizened, gnarled old former manager in the corner here.
You've got to try and put a winning mentality in there while you're developing.
You've got to know these two better than that. There's always something underlying, and I've got them both figured out. Oh. What is it? What is at the root of all this?
Yeah.
Is still a bitterness that he's not been asked to be number two.
Ah.
It's always that. It goes back to Breakin. We're now seeing it at Partick Thistle. He takes great delight in hearing, because he feels, Mr. DL here feels that with every passing defeat there is an increased chance of being asked to come on board.
That's certainly not the case.
I think his bridges were burned with that article in the magazine.
True. That was.
What was it you said
short.
Again? That your most hated fans
Partick.
Were Partick Thistle. I love Partick. Partick Thistle and themselves and Partick Thistle Boys soul. Club.
I love the Jags. But
you're
I've got to say,
back at
the biggest problem is he feels everywhere he goes, the only one place he was reasonably successful, who was with him?
Well, you asked me earlier, you said to me earlier, everybody you worked with you loved. Apart from that time I was at Aintree, there was this director of football that was a muppet. Used to oversee him in the cafe at Ravenscraig.
I don't know if we've got some sort of poetry competition. You know, the Curious Creatures always sends in poetry. Patrick McCaffrey, McCafferty, has turned his hand to some prose today. I like it as well. He's got it's related to your high techs. He says, the current cold snap is no challenge for Hugh, the wise old sage, for he remembers with a shiver living through the first ice age. How he waited all winter in his cave for the temperature to soar, emerging with caution, looking out for any passing dinosaur.
Thank you, Patrick. Love it.
I don't know if thank you is the right expression.
He's having a go at you there, Hugh.
No, but that, you know, they can say what they like, do what they like, post what they like. It doesn't bother me.
Water off a duck's back.
Yeah,
I think you will find. We are a bit short in games, so I'll reference some of the other scores that you may loosely care about. Some of the English Premier League ones. Arsenal already 2 up against Wolves. Martin Odegaard with the goal there on 13 minutes. Don't forget, your teaser is up and running there at Clyde SSB. If you want to give it a go, please do. Looking for 4 names.
That's difficult.
Not got any.
No.
We're on there.
Is there one or two standouts that we should get?
What a bad start. Well, there
are major names. So excluding the Celtic Lazio game, 4 players appeared being the important word there. They were on the pitch in this week's Champions League, who have played in Scotland at some point in their career, and they are good names.
Absolutely. And we're asking a lot of you on social media, because that's what we tend to do. So not only are we looking for the answers to that teaser, if you head over to at Clyde SSB, you will see the pots for the Euro 2024 draw. It takes place this evening in Germany, round about 5 o'clock. Scotland are there. How good does that sound in pot 3? And you can have a look at the pots there. Pot 1, 2, 3 and 4. What we're looking for is to tweet us your dream draw and your nightmare draw. And let's see. Imagine somebody predicts it bang on. The 3 different opponents. That would be quite something. We'll send you a signed picture of Hugh Keevan's high tech trainers if you correctly predict Scotland's draw for the Euros. So take a look there at Clyde SSB. Send us your dream draw and your nightmare draw. I mean, pot 1, Germany, Portugal, France, Spain, Belgium and England. Pot 2, Hungary, Turkey, Romania, Denmark, Albania, Austria. Pot 3, Netherlands, Scotland, Croatia, Slovenia, Slovakia, Czech Republic. And pot 4, Italy, Serbia, Switzerland and 3 playoff winners. I'll get the guys to pick theirs a bit later in the show, but for now, send us your tweet and let's see if anyone can correctly predict the draw for Scotland this afternoon.
A lot of people fancy England. Give us England. I hope we don't get England.
I've noticed a bit of a shift. I feel like I see more people saying, nah, let's not bother.
Yeah, and I don't want Germany either. The host nation, no, forget that.
Not great though, in terms, like in relative terms.
Yeah,
of where they've been.
But the host nation tends to rise to the occasion, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes.
I'd take Germany here.
Actually, yeah. Do you know what? I quite like that because you're getting the prestige and the glamour of playing the host nation, but they're nowhere near as strong as they once were.
100% agree with you.
And you'd probably don't want to play England. You don't want to play France.
Nope.
No.
We've had a good look at Spain, though.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree with Germany. At home, I know what you're saying, but they're the most disciplined team.
Right, okay, but you have to pick one
tree you're barking
up. I'm right up the big tree.
Which nationality of tree? Because you need to pick one. Sorry, it's saying.
Right, give me my options, sorry. Run them by
he's,
me.
He's going to go with Germany at the end of these options.
Give me a few stats while you're there. He's going to just pick... kid on, you're doing the Scottish Cup draw. Yeah, Germany, not won the last five.
Right, you're looking at...
capital Berlin,
Germany, Portugal, France, Spain, Belgium, England.
I'm taking Portugal all day long.
Okay.
All day long.
I think they're not like unbeaten in qualification or something.
No, good. Well, I like that. I like that.
I don't know. That's a guess.
Yeah, I might go Germany.
Joined on
with Spain.
Was it right with Berlin?
That's good.
Listen, I'll be like Germany.
Right. Anyway, you can all tweet just now. We'll do a proper discussion on that a bit later on as we near the draw. Some early thoughts coming in. David Friel says Germany glamour, Austria are beatable, and Serbia are rubbish. So that's his draw, he says. Gabriel wants Belgium from pot one, so that your colleagues are all having a look. There was a VAR check, Kilmarnock fans, for a potential handball. Sorry, it was in the Kelly box. Dickinson not sent to the screen though, David Dickinson, so play on. Motherwell playing well. Stephen O'Donnell bursting into the box, but his cross is blocked. Remember, they're 1-0 up thanks to Mika Bireth's opener there. That's the sort of start Stuart Kettlewell was looking for on the back of that point at Celtic Park. He was very clear after it. He said, I'm not going to do cartwheels. Hold on. In fact, hold that thought.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal at Rugby Park, and it goes the way of the visitors. It's Lauren Shankland who gets to the byline. He cuts it across, and it looks probably like it will go down as a Will Dennis own goal. Lauren Shankland will be trying to claim it, I'm sure, with the Euro draw. He'll want to say, Stevie Clark, look, I've scored 15 goals in the second half of the season. But it may well go down as a Will Dennis own goal by the sounds of things. But either way, Stephen Naismith won't be too fussed. Hearts lead at Kilmarnock by a goal to nil.
Well, the apprentice has got one over the time served. We'll see if that's the way of it by full time. Stephen Naismith, it's not that he needs the result, but it would just look better. You know, they have won their last three, but that was for the first time in 22 months. I mean, that's a long time to wait to win three matches in a row, almost 2 years. That's not Stephen Naismith's fault, but it would be good for him today if he can get the win over Derek McInnes, and it's all of a sudden four wins in a trot.
Yeah, I don't think we can get carried away yet, but it's a good start. Unfortunately, it has gone down as an own goal. If I was Shanklin, I'd be doing everything to claim it. I don't think
there's any. I mean, I think it's just gone across. Will Dennis has put it in. It's an own goal all day long.
If Shanklin keeps up his form, he's got to be on the plane. I've given him a ticket anyway. But yeah, Hugh's right about Hearts going down to Rugby Park. It's always got to be a difficult game. Look, I'm delighted the lads out in the grounds because it's frozen. I think Andrew's get the worst ground because I've been there many, many times. Kilmarnock Rugby Park's freezing a day like this. But at least we've got goals to warm up the heart.
So guys taking a heater round with him, remember?
Yeah, used to Peter the heater.
I need one. So Gabriel was on inquiring about last year at Christmas. I got a heated body warmer.
Oh,
I think, did you not put me onto it?
Yes, brilliant. You still got it?
Well, yeah, I think I've done it in the last 11 months.
Well, you could
been it.
Could have been broken. You could
it's magnificent. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's absolutely magnificent. Because you forget the difference when you're out working at the game. You might actually be out there sitting still for like 4 hours at a time, pretty much. You know, it's different from, you know, when you go as a fan, you can get into the ground 5 minutes before, you'll nip down at half time for a pint. Depending what you're doing and where you are, you know, you sit there for an awfully long time, so you really feel it. So that was, I know Gabriel was inquiring yesterday to me. That suggests to me he doesn't have a heater. No. I don't think he's going to be the type. I don't think Andrew would carry a heater.
Body warmers. I never got them until Thistle gave me one. I've never got it off now.
Do any of you have anything? leisure wear that says Super Scoreboard on it.
No, those were in the halcyon days, I believe.
I've got one.
Have you still got one?
I'm going to wear it tomorrow. I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
What is it, a jacket?
No, it's one of these fleecy, like Mark's wearing there. What do you call that?
It's a jumper.
Yeah, it is. I've got one that says Super Scoreboard. Yeah.
That is a collector's item.
I'll wear it tomorrow.
Is it SSB or just Super Scoreboard?
Super Scoreboard.
We have missed the glory days.
I know they used to have jackets. I've seen one in the office. But is that the glory days? Do you really need to be wearing some sort of weird uniform when you go out?
The breaking one was glued until they get a sack. The party one will be the exact same.
Comfortable attire.
But you need to, if any of the boys are listening, they probably will be, hopefully, get a body warmer.
Where would you get one of those from?
You just get them online.
Back of a kind of catalogue. You see them.
Three different colours, and if you're a wee bit cold, just press the red.
Oh, you never put three bars on the body warmer.
Oh, beautiful.
Sweat.
You never need three bars.
Oh, sometimes you do. Beautiful.
That's good. No,
you get a lot of charge.
Recommend it. Yeah, just charge it before you go.
Go. You're away.
I'm going to get one.
Brilliant.
I'm alarmed at David Friel here, because is there any experts out there who can clarify this? In my uneducated opinion, think this is counterproductive. David Friel's got three pairs of socks on. I don't think that's three times as warm. I think that must cut off circulation and
therefore a better standard.
Must have some wool,
something
exactly
like that.
I was just thinking that.
Like it can't be that simple. I'll just wear 10 pairs of socks. Do you know what I mean?
I'll be roasting.
Three pair of trousers just to keep the legs more.
I think that sounds counterproductive to me.
Well, he can tell you after the game if he's got frostbite in his toes or not.
What I used to do was, see, this is an art trick. You wear the biggest shoes you can, right, because you need a bit of room here. See the things that you wear for see the things you wear for the gloves, your golf, and you scrunch it and it warms up your hands.
I'm going to need a much better explanation than that, unfortunately. Right.
Aye, aye.
A hand warmer.
The hand warmer. Right, okay. You just crush it. You put it in your glove, it in the golf, and it hard. Right. What you do is crush it, stick them in your socks, your feet are toasty.
Right, but wait there a minute. When you says wear the biggest pair of shoes you can, surely all your shoes are bought to fit you. Surely you don't buy big shoes
with room in them.
Hold on,
I'm going to buy a size 11 just in case.
And listen, I'm not the only one out there, because everybody will be the same. Sometimes you get in a shop and you think, oh, these are just a little bit big for me, but they're a good price.
The Nikes. Right. Let's take it back to Thursday.
Maybe just a little bit, maybe two pairs of socks. I might just get away without them squeaking.
I knew you'd get a deal on them.
I was squeaking all the way down that door.
I am taking the way up. They were making an odd sound.
I don't know how Instagram algorithms work, but you know, this type of thing happens, and you can just switch off for a couple of minutes. Penn has sent me a tweet to say that he went and clicked on my Instagram story to have a look at Hugh's High Techs, and he's now being offered ads for high tech trainers on his Instagram.
That's clever.
That's the beauty of the Nokia, Hugh.
Yeah.
They can't track your behaviour there. It's absolutely fine. The
old high techs are still doing a turn there.
They're flying. Anyway, good chance for Hearts this time. The ball breaks for Liam Boyce, but he fires wide in the box. One up on Kilmarnock. A Will Dennis own goal. See, in fact, we've got a goal in all of our games. Remember, Partick Thistle lead Airdrie. Rico Diak with the goal there. And Motherwell 1 Dundee 0 Mika Beereth.
You can't get this level of sophisticated chat on any other programme. Only Super Scoreboard can bring you high techs and where to get them.
100%. I don't doubt it. That's why you three are adored by your public, or something like that. Anyway, good start for Motherwell though, Gordon. I guess though that they have shipped a lot of goals recently. So either looking to add to that or make sure it's a very, very disciplined day at the back.
That's my bit of the concern, Gordon. You're talking about shipping goals. Mostly the recent times has been at Fir Park. Conceded, given up a lot of goals at Fir Park. Dundee are a decent enough side. I was speaking to Kenny Miller on Tuesday, who was up at Dens against Hibs, and although they lost to Hibs, he was quite impressed with them. So that game's not done and dusted by any matter of means, but to get into the lead, get a bit of confidence, taking it, building it from last week at Celtic Park. So far, so good for the Steelmen.
Did you see the dressing room leak from Fir Park during the week?
On.
Have you seen this, Mark
Wilson?
No,
you've not seen this.
Now, I
What one stood out for you?
Oh, there was a few.
No,
so
come
the,
on.
The fines list from Motherwell has been leaked. I think there was an event on in the stadium, so I think lots of fans were maybe snooping around.
Ooh.
Someone's taken a picture,
right,
and published it on social media for everyone to see. So lots of people sent it to me. Some of it's fairly fairly predictable. You know, late for training, £25 plus £1 per minute.
Alright,
okay.
That's
alright.
Okay.
Not a bit hefty.
No, you take that all day long.
Late for a game, £100 plus £5 per minute. Late for the gym, £20. Late for a meeting, £50. Late for the bus, £100. I won't read them all. It's the kind of usual stuff that you would see on these types of things.
There's one standing out for me.
No flip flops, a fiver.
Aye.
Peeing in the shower.
Aye, that's.
You can't.
I don't like that.
I would freeze somebody if.
Oh, by the way, it was quite a thing. Aye, in my time you used to see.
Where are you? The jail.
Players doing it all the time. You never see that. What are you talking about? You were in the bath and people were doing it in the big bath.
No, they were never doing it.
Anyway,
what was the fine for that?
£25 for peeing in the shower. Is that a good rate?
What have you done, Andy?
Well, you know the toilet's right beside the showers usually, so yeah, it just made that fine even bigger.
Yes,
make it £200, aye.
I'll tell you what, some night out for a Christmas.
You'd be struggling. Poor parking is a tenner. I've seen the way you park out there.
Yeah,
no, you can't park straight. What is? Why is that?
I don't know. I've got cameras and everything, but I just tend to.
And you always. This is a real bugbear of mine. I don't know why. You always leave your wheels turned.
Yeah.
I have to leave my wheels straight.
Quick getaway. He's always sharp away from here.
It's just a personal thing. I need to leave my wheels straight when I've parked.
But you're a tidy person.
Your parking's a disgrace out
there. The only thing I'll say about the fines is it all goes to the Christmas. And some goes.
Well, listen.
See, be fair to clubs, a lot of them put some money to charities as well.
Here,
so give them a bit of credit.
This sort of shows you the priorities at Fir Park. The biggest fine by a mile is missing the Christmas night out.
Ooh.
If you miss the Christmas night out, you're down £250. And it's 150 quid if you leave early. So there's always.
Oh, what is leaving early though? Surely they've got to specify that.
Shug, catch for kids, you're 250 every year.
Yeah.
Oh, 4 o'clock. Hey,
but they keep having it on a Friday.
Yes. He has to come on the show.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Shug at a gig, right? At 7 o'clock it starts. At 5 past he's
gone.
Round the table. No, he's gone round the table. He's gone. When are you leaving? When are you going? Are you going by my house?
And here's the thing, right? Because I'd imagine most of these, apart from the, you know, cost adjusted for inflation, these would all have survived the test of time. These have all been things that would have been frowned upon in your day. But there are a couple, just to let you know, that were brought up to the present day. Unacceptable or cringy social media posts, £20.
Oh.
Very important. I'd add a zero to the end of that.
Yeah.
But
team votes on it.
A team vote on it.
So you know the usual.
Usually have a committee.
Like, you know, like, fans were tremendous. We go again next week.
Oh, fine.
Clapping hand emoji. All that
fine.
Sort of
kissing
stuff.
Kissing the badge and all that.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's 200.
Tough day at the office. Fans were brilliant. We go again.
I hate all that.
So £20 for that. That's
like
interesting.
That.
Uh-huh.
And again, again,
great
just,
manager. Everybody liked him.
Just to match the modern fashions. No chewing gum or snus in the urinals, since that will be a problem. Not no chewing gum. Snus in the urinals will be particularly modern phenomenon.
That's his phone. That's a tenner for the Christmas.
Yeah. What's the phone's one?
50 quid or 20? Sorry.
At meetings.
Yeah.
No phones at meeting.
It's Casper Kids lunch next Friday.
Yeah,
I went to a Casper Kids lunch and I met Mark's better half there, and we watched Lewis Capaldi, and he was out of this world. But it was a Friday, so I had to stand there and watch Lewis Capaldi.
Goal.
What sort of fine do you get for this?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Conceding at home, when in control, Motherwell 1, Dundee 1. It was a corner, bit of a deflection, Motherwell didn't really react, and then an easy header and Dundee pull themselves level. So Mika Beareth had the steel men in front, but Dundee have pulled things level there at Fir Park. So disappointment there for Stuart Kettlewell. Tony Docherty will be delighted. Good response, looking to get back into it just around about the
half hour mark there in that one. So it's 1-1.
He was on about set pieces a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he?
Lyle Cameron, by the way, with the goal.
Saying that everybody knows
young
their
kid,
job and he keeps telling the information, but they keep conceding. And the goals, we've not seen this one, but in the past, the goals they concede for set pieces look so easy. So I wonder what this, the form this one's taking on, but no good. Only holding on for what, 20 odd minutes?
Do you want to hear, without any shadow of a doubt, the least surprising thing you will hear all day long? That there's actually five answers to the teaser and not four.
Ah,
really?
It's hard
what
enough.
What have you got? YTS?
What sort of fine should we introduce for
get
this?
Get these guys in and get them fined.
£50 for every answer that's left off.
Right, and
the sheet.
I want to put something out there. If he mentions one more coach manager again and how great they are, I think you should find him.
You know what? That comes at unfortunate timing, because I was going to give you some credit there. Right, I seriously was. The one thing I liked about Daz was his director of football. You never liked finding anybody, did you? You
no.
never liked taking
no.
money off the players.
Never ever.
And you found another way, and I quite
liked
that.
Okay.
Never
okay.
ever.
Why?
Because I thought in today's society that money's very hard to come by and a lot of people need money. So I was never into taking money out of people's pockets.
So what would you have done? Punish them instead?
You like running them or dropping them?
No, I would have a chat with them. I wouldn't play them, or I would discipline them the other way, Hughes. I just found it, you know, it's different if you're in the big money category, but you had guys there that were full time. They were earning decent enough money, but not life changing money. And they had mortgages, they had bills to pay. And the kind-hearted guy that I was, I found other ways of
at the other end
like
of
what,
the scale.
Hold on, like what? Because if kind-hearted Uncle Daz is not wanting to take their money, but is instead going for some public humiliation, then you might need to drop the good guy act. What's the alternative?
No, I would do a different thing. I'd maybe give them, you know, instead of giving them a day off, they would be in for training, doing a bit of work, maybe cleaning up changing rooms and stuff.
It's good about that. I'd rather just pay £20.
No, well, you're very fortunate you can afford to.
That's not the point.
We had a lot of people that used to come crying.
You think about it, any other industry, and we're laughing about the guys in there. Imagine you come in for your work, you're late, sorry I'm late. Listen, that's a fine. No other industry would do that. Give me the money off your wages.
Hold on. Is it not mostly a bit of fun? As Daz said, often it goes to the, it'll be the Christmas kitty, or if some of it might go to charity. It's not like the club are officially sanctioning you £20 because you peed in the shower.
No, these fines are all fine.
Just about housekeeping.
Right. Yeah. There'll be two different disciplines in there. The players will have their own ones, and the managing team will have the other ones.
So at Celtic, would those fees be big?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, big. Especially lateness on
match
days.
So what are we talking?
I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I've seen hundreds of pounds if you were late.
Just
for
to reflect
a team bus.
The fact that obviously the wages would be higher at Celtic.
Yeah,
so you'd be hundreds and hundreds of pounds if you were late for the
and
team
bus. And there's repeat offenders on that would be late constantly. So the message of paying hundreds of pounds just didn't get through to them.
Here's where I was with the team bus.
Hold on, we've got another one of these.
Goal flashes. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Got to be doubling the fines at this point. Motherwell 1, Dundee 2. And I have to say, it's one of Dundee's standout performers this season, Owen Beck. He's been excellent at left back. He gets in the box, finishes on the turn. It was good work down the right initially. Found its way over to his side. The game has turned on its head. Owen Beck has Dundee in front at Fir Park.
What did I say to you, Gordon, about 20 minutes ago? The one concern for me at Fir Park, Motherwell concede goals. And baby Andy Robertson has punished him. He has a double. If nobody's seen this guy, he has a double of Andy Robertson. I can't believe it. But that is poor, especially coming up to half time.
That's a disaster. You know, Stuart Keltwell, if this continues, he'll see the same things time and time again. But it's especially disappointing when they go in front, they take the chances, or one of the chances that he's on about, but at the back so open. And then you look at them at Celtic Park, they were difficult to play through. You know, a solid unit, but they've conceded 2 and 34 minutes after being in front. So bitterly disappointing for them, but long way to go.
It's a good game if you're Gabs. You're getting plenty of goals, plenty of excitement. But if you're a Motherwell supporter, it's another disappointing 36 minutes.
Yeah,
we can
have a laugh about this, that or the other thing, but it will soon not be funny. if Motherwell don't win today.
I think it's unfunny already.
No,
actually,
no wins in 11, and it will soon become a matter of concern and not a source of humour.
You would actually, it could be a real worry, because you look at Aberdeen, they could win tomorrow. You must fancy St Johnstone. He beat Celtic, they'll leapfrog Motherwell as well. So all of a sudden, I can imagine all the Celtic fans in it. But no, it's not a laughing stock. Especially
goals against this season, 24. Yeah.
Is that so, before today or including?
No, that's including today. So the worst in the league at the minute. 24 goals against.
Not good, not good at all. But great for Dundee and Owen Beck. Absolute standout since joining on loan from Liverpool, and he has scored the second for Dundee. So Hugh, I did say there has been a VAR check on the teaser. There are indeed five answers, and not four. So remind us of your question, please.
Excluding the Celtic-Lazio game, five players appeared in this week's Champions League who have played in Scotland at some point in their career. Name them.
We've got about two.
Well done to everyone for pointing out that there are five, by the way. Graham Donnelly has gone for Kieran Tierney.
No, not
there. He was on the bench, I think, so does not count. Slinky Jerry threw him in there as well. lots of people giving this a really good go. Sam Gray wants to mention Jeremy Frimpong.
No.
Cedric Eaton.
No.
He didn't play either. So you're getting close on a number of them. Keep your guesses coming in at Clyde SSB. So there are five answers in total. What we got here? No more goals to tell you about yet. So as things stand in our featured games, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1, Partick Thistle 1, Airdrie 0, and Motherwell 1, Dundee 2.
I don't think
or is it? Hold on. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's 2-0 Partick Thistle. It'll probably go down as an own goal, but I don't think Chris Doolan will be too fussed, because it looks like his team will take a comfortable lead into the break there at Firhill, and that's going exactly to plan. Not so much for Airdrie, not so much for the Palmerston Pep either, because Lewis Smith has Hamilton Accies 2-0 up against Queen of the South.
I thought when Dundee United lost to Queen of the South in the Scottish Cup, the whole place would take a massive lift, but it's had the opposite effect for some reason.
Well, Hamlin going, you're going well in
still,
the league.
You're still
going
to one of the two best teams in the league, so you know, it remains a tough fixture. But anyway, 2-0 down there, 2-0 up Partick Thistle.
Great result for Partick so far. Going well there. Sitting in third place, putting a little bit of pressure on Mull Club Raith Rovers, so very tight at the top.
Still, is Raith Inverness go ahead? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, still
0-0. That's the only other one, I think. Yeah, so Inverness Raith isn't up there.
That's a game you want off right away. Inverness. I used to look even this summer in Metopa, Inverness was off. Hated the worst trip in the world to go to Inverness. I hated that fixture. Know how fans look at Celtic Rangers fixture, Motherwell, you know, Hamill, all that. When am I going to Inverness?
Don't put anything in the calendar for after that game, because it's not happening.
I used to get any wee foxes on the Friday night. Would you call it Johnny Foxes?
As a manager or as a player?
Oh, as a manager, I used to get in there. I thought, well, I may as well have a good Friday night, because I'm going to have a bad Saturday.
I'll tell you what though,
In some quarters, Rico Diak has been credited with that second Partick Thistle goal, but David Friel reckons, you know, it was a kind of cross. It ended up taking a nick, looped over the Airdrie keeper, a Fordyce own goal, or.
But David might be feeling the repercussions of the snowball attack. You know, it may have slightly.
But do you think they targeted just him?
I like to think so. Certainly, yeah.
Why?
He must have wrote something in the paper about this.
It's now being credited on TV as a Callum for Dice own goal, so the postie always delivers.
There we go. Still 2-0 to Partick Thistle. Whoever did get that final touch, good start for them. Good start for, well, actually it was a bad start for Dundee, and it's turned in to a good end to the half. They're now 2-1 up at Fir Park. Motherwell's woes continuing for now. And Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1 again. That's a bit of a day for own goals. This one credited, if that's the right word, to Will Dennis. It was Lauren Shankland that created it, but the final touch off Will Dennis, who, interestingly, has just run out and sort of kicked Yutaro Oda. But this is one of these strange ones. So the offside was given, but Dennis still gets the yellow, obviously, because, you know, you can't kick someone regardless of whether it's offside or not.
Yeah.
And it's now going to be a VAR check for a potential red card.
Ooh.
For the Kilmarnock goalkeeper.
Okay. Okay. Well, not a good first half for Dennis, an own goal, and then potentially facing a red card. But had to worse for Derek McInnes here pretty quickly.
It's one of the, well, there are many, but you can get why some people get frustrated in that regard, you know, the frustration with VAR, because obviously it doesn't wipe out the offence. And I get that as well, because, you know, you can't just go and whack someone and then think, oh well, that's okay, because VAR gets you out of it. The check is over, yellow card stands. So Derek McInnes, he was raging initially. But
talking
go.
About goalkeepers, do you see Hamburg's own goal last night?
Oh my
How
goodness.
Good was that?
Was it a couple of nights ago?
Was it a couple of nights ago?
Yes.
Yeah. That's playing for the back for you, eh? That's it. And tell someone
what,
to you.
I'll tell you what a funny. Somebody contacted me to an Instagram, a police officer.
It is one of the worst you'll ever see, isn't it?
Police officer.
It was a police officer. To bring me my attention to it, and I went on and looked at it. My goodness. What is a goalkeeper thinking of there?
So yeah, they can.
What was the point of that story? You telling us a police officer contacted you on Instagram?
They try and play out, but they're on their own goal line. Goodness knows where the keeper's rushing to. He's trying to create some sort of angle. The pass back to him nearly goes in, but then bobbles and he slices it into the roof of his own net.
Oh, he finishes it.
Football gone mad. That.
What a goal it was!
It's quite spectacular. I know that's been doing the rounds, going viral.
Hugh, we're struggling on this.
Well,
it's a tough one.
I now have all five names I am prepared to reveal.
Yeah, why not? Let's get it up and running.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Excluding the Celtic Lazio game, four players appeared in this week's Champions League. Five players, I beg your pardon, who have played in Scotland at some point in their career. They are Mohamed El Yanoussi, who of course played for Celtic and is now at FC Copenhagen. Malik Tillman, once of Rangers, now at PSV Eindhoven. Josip Juranovic, Celtic. And Union Berlin, as I believe it's the correct pronunciation, Union Berlin. Fabio Cardoso, once of Rangers and now at Porto. And Umar Sadiq, Rangers and Real Sociedad.
Well done if you got all five. Even better considering we only asked for four initially. Well done to Lewis Bullock, who was in third place. Stephen Rankin was second fastest and the winner by an outstanding performance. Kevin Brown straight in with the correct answer. Well done, all three of you. We'll have a Who Am I in the second half. Hamilton Accies 3, Queen of the South 0.
Do we have a late contender for Stevie Clark's squad? Kevin Nisbet puts Millwall 1 up against Sunderland.
2-2 for him, scored the other night, Kevin Nisbet.
Set up another mic, big Marvel Bennett court.
Should laugh at other people's misfortune.
That is dreadful. Dreadful.
Really,
no support for the younger managers in our game.
I love the big guy.
Kevin Nisbet has scored. He was the one that got the game time at the last Euros, remember?
He was the
sub that came on in the striking department. It's fallen out of favour a bit.
Have you one ticket for a play in Nisbet or Shankland?
Mind you, you've got six months to go yet.
I think most people do lean Shankland, don't they?
Yeah, I would.
But as Hugh says, if Kevin Nisbet goes and scores 10 goals between now and the end of the championship season, which would be quite something, you'd have to take that into account, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you would. I think that it's very tight. There's a case there for both of them, but I think for me, Shankland just said he's.
Do you know one that I just wonder, because of the fact, you know, we speak about Well, there's another Scotland striker who technically could play his way into it, but
he'll not be gone.
You wouldn't
cross on a plane.
Ollie McBurney sent off for Sheffield United. You know, the obvious job, this team is almost set up because there's no out and out guy that guarantees you loads of goals. It's almost set up to have your striker who brings out the best in everyone else, isn't it? You know, and that if we're talking about that Lyndon Dykes mould or even the way that, that Shea Adams works, he's had a terrible time with injury. He has been in squads. No one really talks about Ross Stewart anymore. He is at Southampton. You know, if we're talking about the Championship, if the Championship's a good benchmark, and if you're saying Kevin Nisbet, Ross Stewart still got a chance.
I forgot all about him, gone.
Because of injury. He's been out for ages because of injury. Yeah. He's now got a fresh injury, which is going to extend his time out with the game.
I didn't realise he had another one. That's not ideal.
But as I say, there are still 6 months to go. You know, he can recover, and he can recover his goal scoring touch. I just think it's wildly premature on December 2nd to be discussing who will be playing in Germany in June.
Hugh, it's a bit of fun. I know that concept is lost on you at times. Well, we're just having a bit of a debate.
I don't approve of fun.
Two pair of shoes and you're getting yourself a bit.
He's only played twice this season as well. It was just a throwaway remark at this stage. Let's go to Firth Park where it is half time. Gabriel.
Yes, it is, Gordon. It's Motherwell 1, Dundee 2 at the interval. A lovely strike from Mika Beerit early on gave the host the lead, but a quick fire double from Lyle Cameron and Owen Beck turn the game on its head. Now, it was a bright start to the game from Motherwell. In the 6th minute, we had our first goal. The ball was bouncing in the box. It popped up for Beerit, who caught it in the air, clipped the inside of the near post. The ball nestling in the back of it. A lovely finish. And Motherwell were on top early on. Beerit providing a great out ball. He nearly got in another couple of times. The shape looked good. Stephen O'Donnell was slipped in down the right at one point. They had his cross blocked after some good defensive work. But then Dundee started to get back into it about halfway through. They had more of the ball, started to play in Motherwell's third. And then it was another set piece, really proving Motherwell's Achilles heel this season. It was the second phase, a deflected shot from a Dundee attacker, looped the ball over several defenders' head. Lyle Cameron was just in the clear, unmarked, 6 yards out, headed it into the ground, into the back of the net. And just 3 minutes later, Owen Beck had another one. Good work down the right from the visitors, cut the ball back into the box. Not sure what Beck was doing in there as a centre forward. Finished on the turn. Really stunned Motherwell, who completely fell to pieces at the back for 5 or so minutes there. Stuart Ketterwell will be livid. His side finally took the lead, took the initiative as he'd been calling for, but they couldn't hold on. Easy goals to give away. They've been better going forward, but they've got to tighten up at the back, or this winless run will continue and extend to 11 games, and they will be in serious trouble. There were boos ringing around here, Gordon, as the teams walked down the tunnel. Half time, Dundee 2-1 up.
Not a good first half for Motherwell, but Tony Docherty's impressive start to life as Dundee manager continuing. Big second 45 ahead in that one. Do we have any other half-time whistles? Yes, we do. Let's go to David Friel in the Championship. Partick Thistle against Airdrie.
Half-time, Partick 2, Airdrie 0, and it's pretty much been a perfect 45 minutes for Rico Dyack, who has grabbed a goal on his first ever Thistle start. And his team are well on their way to a win already. 18-year-old, he's in for the suspended Brian Graham, the club's captain, and he has been excellent in the first half. He scored his goal, but it's not just that that stood out. He's shown strength, nice touches, hold-up play, has been very good. He looks very mature and has a bright future on this evidence. He was involved early on, a really nice culture pass over to Aidan Fitzpatrick, who's been outstanding as well, and he curled wide from the angle. The roles are then reversed in 7 minutes as Fitzpatrick floating in a corner, and this time Dyack, only 18, remember, found the bottom corner with a clever header. Really, really nice moment. The teenager fans are loving it, and you can see he doesn't lack confidence. Airdrie spoke early on, they're finding it hard to get goals this season. They took a while to get going, but Liam McStravick did well with a great run in 28 minutes. His shot was saved by Jamie Sneddon. Callum Gallagher also forced a good save from the Thistle keeper, but Chris Doolan's men were always a threat. Fitzpatrick has been really, really lively. He crossed again for Dyack, who fired wide this time, but the winger was then involved as Partick made it 2-0 in 37 minutes. Fitzpatrick crossed from the left. The ball hit Airdrie defender Callum Fordyce and looped over Josh Ray. Dyack was in at the back post, but the ball was in the net before he could even get a touch. Partick well on top, and it's a big task for Airdrie in the second half on this evidence. Half-time, Partick 2, Airdrie 0.
And last but not least, Rugby Park, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, half time, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1, Lawrence Shankland. He'll want to claim the only goal of this game, but it will go down as a Will Dennis own goal that has the visitors ahead. It was a pretty even start to things. Kilmarnock maybe slightly edging it. A couple of efforts from Corey and Daba. One of those was a long range strike that was never troubling Xander Clark, way over the bar. And then the second was a header from a corner. That one was off target as well. Hearts then started to come into it a bit more. Liam Boyce had a shot that was well blocked by Lewis Mayo. They kept that pressure on though and got the goal. Lawrence Shankland, he got to the byline, he cut it across the goal line really, and Will Dennis, he went diving down to his right to try and gather it, but he actually could only turn it into his own net for 1-0. There was almost a quick response from Kilmarnock. Danny Armstrong, good work on the right, as you see from him often. He then passed the ball into David Watson. It was a good position in the box. He ran onto it, but a curling effort went wide of the far post, and Liam Boyce put one wide at the other end not long after that. Later on, they have a bit of a strange incident. Yotaro Odoi was running on to a high through ball. He was quite clearly offside. The flag went up, but Will Dennis still came rushing out. He made a challenge. He caught Oda, who went down. The free kick was given for offside, but a yellow card was still given to Will Dennis. He then escaped extra punishment after a VAR check. There was one final chance for Kilmarnock right at the death there. It was a decent one as well. A deep free kick came in, and there was Corey Ndaba again, who looks the biggest goal threat from left wing back. He was a few yards out. He just didn't get enough power on it, and Xander Clark was able to move his body and get in the way of that one. But this one's still very much open heading into the second 45. The halftime score here at Rugby Park is Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 1.
And we'll do a full round up of the halftime scores next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores in the Scottish Premiership. It's Killy 0, Hearts 1. Motherwell 1, Dundee 2. Livy Ross County is off. Lots of games off today. The only two survivors in the Scottish Championship: Inverness 0, Raith 0, and Partick Thistle 2, Airdrie 0. In League 1, only one survivor: Hamilton Accies 3, Queen of the South 0. And just two games on in League 2 as well: Forfar 1, Stranraer 0, and Stenhouse Muir 1, Bonnie Regrose 0. In the English Premier League at the break, it's Arsenal 2, Wolves 0, Brentford 0, Luton 0, and Burnley 2, Sheffield United 0. The second halves are coming up next.